All right. So as Pastor Rajan shared yesterday, we have got nearly 50 over days more before we end 2022. Now, I want to ask you, what is your hope for 2023? What are your aspirations? You're hoping for a better job? Or hoping to keep the job that you already have? And it is very scary, you know, when it comes to this job thing. You know, scary and scared, actually. Because, you know, I work in a group practice, and my job is hiring new doctors sometimes. And so we are going to have another clinic, so we are hiring doctors. And 4 to 5 years ago, when you apply in Job Street to get a doctor, you have to wait 6 months before you get 1 or 2 applications, 2 to 3 years ago. And when that doctor comes, all the requests are there. And I used to be so amazed, you know, because when I, so many years ago, applied for a job, you just pray and you just go and you go with the feeling that you don't know much, but you want to learn. But nowadays, these doctors come and I had a doctor who came and sat in front of me and I said, why are you applying for this job? And this doctor was telling me, I want to see what you can offer me. I said, wow. I want a salary of, you know, this amount. Okay? Now, this is a doctor who's only got 2 years of experience, you know, but the salary that the doctor wants is as though he or she has got 10 years of experience. Okay, I said, all right, that's negotiable. Do you provide lunch? Okay, negotiable. Do you have internet in your clinic? Okay, we do. How fast is the internet? And the thing here is, 5 to 6 years ago, when you apply, when you see an advertisement in Job Street, you put in an, you actually advertise, you have to wait 5 to 6 months to get one doctor. But now, there are so many of them in the market. You know, there's a glut of doctors. You apply today, you will get 10 to 15 applications tomorrow on Job Street. And within 1 week, you will get at least 6 to 8 doctors coming for interview from Sabah, from Sarawak, from Penang. Apparently, Johor is a very fertile ground with good salary, apparently, for many doctors. And they're coming. And the thing is, I only need one doctor. But you have got 15 people. And it is so sad. These are so smart people, you know. I have to count the number of A's they have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 A's. Is it possible to get 10 A's? And see, and then this 10 A plus. But no job. Scary. The smartest people in the country now have difficulty getting a job. And then we advertise for pharmacists. So doctors have got 10 A plus, pharmacists have all got 8 A plus. Also, no job. And it really broke my heart. You know, they may have all these requests because they are young and, you know, they have very high expectations. But the reality is, it is a very unstable job market for perhaps the smartest people in the country. They are all the top scorers in wherever schools they are, because I read their resume. No job. What is your hope for 2023? IMF says, they say that Malaysian economy will go up by, will improve by 2.5%. But that was the expectation. Now they say they've downgraded it to 2.3%. And they say in reality, they hope it will reach 2% based on the political situation. So what is our hope for 2023? If you see the news, inflation is sky high all over the world. Is there more hope or is there more hopelessness for 2023? You see diseases now. I mean, when I was growing up, you will hear one person having a, you will hear one person having an irreversible disease. One person. But nowadays, you hear so many people having diseases where it's already terminal, suddenly. So we live in a situation where things seem to be hopeless. And this one thing today I would like to share, what's been impressed in my heart, is to have a hope in a hopeless situation, in a hopeless time. Now, before that, I want us to understand something. Hope is not wish. Hope is not desire. Two different things. We wish to hit the lottery. We wish. Because wishing is actually hoping for something that is unlikely to happen. You know, to get a jackpot lottery is equivalent to being struck by lightning 20,000 times. That's what statisticians say. To get a lottery is equivalent to the same person, not different person, same person getting struck by lightning 20,000 times. So, getting lottery is certainly not hope. It's a wish. Or is hope optimism? No, hope is, you know, if you're optimistic, that means you're hopeful. See, hope is something that is most likely going to happen. That's hope. So is hope optimism? I used to remember when I was working those days in the emergency department, it was in a foreign country, I was doing a training, and there everyone is always so positive. So I'll be waking up in the morning, I'll be thinking, oh man, today is Saturday. You know, so today is Sunday, and I've got this morning shift. So all the sins that people have done on Saturday will spill over in the emergency department on Sunday. And then my consultant comes and says, Manoj, why are you looking so down? I say, boss, this is Sunday morning. Oh, be optimistic. Be optimistic, Manoj. So then I realized optimism many times is actually a combination of so many things. One, I'm not telling optimism is bad. See, a lot of science have shown that optimistic people have got better outcome. But I'm telling you, optimism is not hope. Optimism is actually, I like the way it was written, optimism is pretending that the world that you wish for and behaving that your wished for world is actually the real world. Optimism is pretending that the world as you wish it were and then behaving as if your wished for world is actually the real world. So it's like, the example, don't look, so when you go to the emergency department, what are you wishing for? You're optimistic it's going to be a great day. You're optimistic that everything is going to go on well. You're optimistic that, you know, it's going to be very calm and everything that you do the first time, you will do it right. That's optimism. You go. And then at about 8:35, in those days it was pager, it starts to ring. I was in Sarawak General Hospital. I was working in anesthesia. Okay. Now, if the emergency department calls for the anesthetic MO to go, that means the situation is bad. Because anesthetic MOs go only to intubate. That means you've got a person who's not breathing. Number one. Number two is the doctor in the emergency department would have tried a few times and failed. Then they'll call the anesthetic MO. And then you go to the emergency department. There is one car accident with four people all lying side by side, not breathing. So when you go, you feel you're in control. No, I can do it. I can do it. If everything is going to be well, everything is going to be good. I have got skills. I've got this. I've got that. I'm in total control. But when you go there, it's chaos. Optimism is not hope. Optimism is not wishing. The problem is sometimes optimism denies reality. So we can be so optimistic about 2023. You know why? How many optimists do you need to change a light bulb? How many optimistic people do you need to change a light bulb? Nobody. Because an optimist always believes that he or she will find light in darkness. Don't get an optimist to change a light bulb. Optimism is not hope. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not what you wish for. Hope is not expectation. Hope is not expectation. One of the most painful, traumatic event anyone can go through in his or her life is to have what you really expect to happen not happen. That's very traumatic. It's like, and I say this very respectfully and emphatically, it's like when my wife was working in the health clinic and she'll be doing all these scans, you know, ultrasound scans for all these antenatal checkups, and you have got this expectant mothers coming in, full of excitement. Okay, Rachel used to share with me one particular incident. So full of excitement, the baby, you know, you've just had your last ultrasound scan and everything's so good, and they're actually planning the delivery is going to be in the mother's house, and they've actually made the plans to go to the mother's house, and the mother has made all the necessary arrangements in the home because her daughter is coming who's going to deliver a child, and then this is the first child. And they're so excited. Every day they're going through different names, finding out different names for this child. And the father is telling, I wish he's a boy, because I really would like somebody to help around with all the mechanical things that we do in the house. And the mother is wishing, no, I hope it's a girl, because girls are so, it's so enjoyable to dress them up. This is what mothers, expectant mothers think. And they're all just hoping like this. And then my wife, Rachel, does a scan, looks carefully, no heartbeat. Calls the specialist, come, double check, no heartbeat. One of the most traumatic experiences is not to have what you really expect to happen not happen. Hope is not wishing. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not expectation. And this hope where you expect something to this desire or this thing that you really expect something to happen, when it doesn't happen, it's so traumatic and it can actually bring you so much of harm. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12. I really believe that King Solomon knew medicine, you know. Because Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart. That means something you really hope for, you don't get it. He specifically says makes your heart sick. Can I have that slide? You know what? What King Solomon said before new medical sciences could actually prove it actually existed. This is something that is known as Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Now, what happens is, you see the red thing there? I didn't bring my pointer, I'm sorry. On the extreme right, the red thing there, that's the size of a normal heart. Now, our heart has got four chambers. Up two chambers, down two chambers. And it's the down left chamber that actually needs the power to forcefully contract and get the blood out. Now, in Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, due to extreme stress, and you're not talking about physical stress, purely mental stress. Extreme mental stress, what happens is the left ventricle, that means the left lower chamber of the heart, actually swells up and becomes what is known as an octopus trap called Takotsubo. It swells up. So when something swells up, so that means when something swells up so much, it can only contract lesser. If it's so swollen, it cannot contract to the level it's supposed to contract. Supposing it is supposed, in simple terms, supposing something that is five, let me tell you, it's like a rubber band. You pull a rubber band, what happens? It becomes elongated. So when the left chamber becomes elongated, it cannot pump. It cannot contract and pump out sufficient amount of blood to the rest of the whole body. And this actually brings about heart failure and people can die. Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. King Solomon knew about Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. This happened to my friend. He was 40 years old. He was a state swimmer when we were all schooling. And he had a business partner. He had a very successful business, a business partner who suddenly, his business partner was 64 years old, suddenly died in a road accident. My friend, he was only 40 at that time, very fit guy. After finishing swimming, he would go for squash, really fit guy, and every year go for all his heart checks and all that. He suddenly, one day, developed a heart attack. He's already had a bypass at the age of 40 because he went through extreme mental stress when his business partner suddenly passed away. When what you expect for does not occur, it can be very traumatic. Hope is not what you wish for. Hope is not what you are optimistic about. Hope is not what you really, really expect. So what is hope? So we've talked a bit of medical science, a bit of philosophy. Now we're coming to church to talk about the Word of God, right? So let's come to the Word of God. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the definition of hope, biblically speaking, is an expectation of what is sure. What is certain, that is hope. It is not what you wish for. It is not what you are optimistic about. It is not what you are expecting, but it is an expectation of what is sure and certain to happen. That is hope. Thank you. In Hebrew, hope, unlike the English language, when you say hope, you cannot see hope. You cannot actually hear hope. But in Hebrew, the word hope actually means tikva. T-E-E-K hyphen V-A-H. Which actually means it is a rope. It is a rope. That means in Hebrew, when it is written here, yes, when the psalmist says in Psalm 62 verse 5, yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. The psalmist can literally see a rope coming down to him. Tikwa. In Hebrew, hope is a rope. Hope is something you and I can literally see with our eyes. Hope in the Word of God is something that you can be absolutely certain about. So I want to ask you, what is it that you're hoping for in 2023? Because what you hope for, as far as the Word of God is concerned, is you can be certain it will come to pass. What is it that God has placed in your heart to hope for? Yesterday, Pastor Rajan shared, and if you want to know what is it that God has placed in your heart to hope for, please look at his message. Listen to his message yesterday. King David did a prayer of intimacy, which led to a prayer of information. Get intimate with God and he will reveal to you what is it that he has planned for you in 2023 and what he says as far as the word is of God is concerned. What he has asked you to hope for is a rope. It is a rope. It is a rope of hope that helps me cope as I climb the slope to reach the top of the globe for his glory. That is hope in God. That is the Christian hope. And what is so amazing is, one of my favorite verses, I mean, you're probably getting fed up of it, but I've just got to share it. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. The plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. In the midst of all this chaos, what God tells you to have hope for will become a reality. When I was doing my first year medicine, there was this subject known as biochemistry. Dr. Sherlin will know. Biochemistry for a medical student is a horrible subject. It's all organic chemistry, you know. We had three subjects. Physiology is the working of the organs, you know, the liver, the kidney. It's interesting. Anatomy is the vein, the nerves. Biochemistry is organic chemistry. The protein gets broken down to what and what and what. The fat gets broken down to what and what. And fat, before it's broken down, is structures like it's OH, KH, all that. And then after it's broken, it's so boring. And we all struggle to study biochemistry. And it's all structure. So if you go to a bathroom, right behind the bathroom door, there's a structure of what protein looks like. And then when you get up to brush your teeth, there's a structure of what fatty acid looks like. Everywhere will stick. Because this is something which you've got to study and you've got to pass. And what happened is, so we all had it was, and on top of that, we had a very, very difficult professor in biochemistry, okay? And what happened is, our first year, all right, that is, we had this one paper, Biochemistry 1, the full mark is 40, all right? And in our whole class, we had two batches of about 120 of us. The highest for that batch was 24 out of 40. Highest. Very strict professor. Highest was 24 out of 40. Okay? And majority of the people got between 22 to 24. Now, what happened to me was, I misread a question. They wanted the structure of fatty acid. I wrote the structure of free fatty acid. I don't know why I saw the word free. So I got 19 out of 40. That means failed. 19 out of 40. And I really, really cried out to God. I really cried out to God. Okay? I cried out to God, and in my heart, the Lord told me, you have passed. And it was so, so strong. It was so sure, you have passed. I'm looking at my result. What do you mean I've passed? My paper is in front of me. It's 19 out of 40. You have passed. Believe in me. Trust in me. Have faith in me. You have passed. My hope had to be anchored on God. 1 week later, we get news that the university has recalled all biochemistry papers for the 1992 batch to re-evaluate. To cut a long story short, I got 21 out of 40. In the 60 over years of this medical college's history, nothing like this has ever happened. Where and what is your hope anchored on is what we want to know today. You know, I've shared this before, and I want I want us to understand something about Christian hope. Hope in the Word of God. Hope is looking expectantly towards the future based on our faith in God in the present and His faithfulness in the past. Hope is looking expectantly towards the future based on our faith in God today in the present and His faithfulness in the past. I've shared this before. Now let's get a few rats to teach us this concept. Rats, yes. Tikus, lausu. You know, speaking of lausu, it is a bit sidetracked. No, when I started, I used to speak to my Chinese speaking patients Mandarin. And then when they come and they sit down there and ask, so when they want the MC, right? So I ask, what job are you doing? Then they'll say, teacher, oh, ni lausu, hao, lausu, hao. They're looking at me like that, you know. Lausu means rat. Lausu means teacher. So my sir became su. So when I was reading this, I was thinking of all that. But my patients are very kind. They came and politely corrected me. Okay. See, there was a psychologist called Martin E.P. Seligman. Have you heard of him? Martin E.P. Seligman. All right. Now, he did this thing whereby he took 20 rats and put them into a big aquarium with water. 20 rats. And he calculated how long these rats can survive in the water. And he calculated, on the 10th minute, they all died. The rats all died. Now, what he did is this, you know. He put another batch of rats. Now, if there's anyone who's against animal cruelty or something, please forgive me, online or here. But this is just an experiment which he did. He put, the second time, another 20 rats in. And this time, on the 9th and a half minute, so the rats all struggling already, 9 and a half minute, he took the rats out. He took them out, dried them up, fed them. And within 2-3 hours later, put back these 20 rats into the aquarium. Now the first bunch of rats died on the 10th minute. Now this new batch of rats, the second time he put there until 9 and a half minutes, he took them out. Right? Follow me. Now he puts the same bunch of rats again into the aquarium. And this time he sees that they survive until 13 and a half minutes. And then they're struggling. He takes them out. Dries them up. Gives them food. After 2-3 hours, put them back again in the aquarium. 9.5 minutes became 13.5 minutes. This time, when you see them struggling, it was around the 17th and 18th minute. What happened is at the 17th and a half minute, he took them out again. Fed them. Dried them up. Put them back in the water. Now finally, those rats, so when he sees they're about to struggle and die, he will take them out. You know how long they swam on the water? The same bunch of rats? 37 hours. These rats are teaching us something today. They knew that when they were about to drown, based on the past experience, that somebody comes and saves them. So they kept on struggling. They knew that when they're about to get drowned, about to die, there would be a hand that would come, take them out, dry them up, feed them, and save them. Hope is looking expectantly towards the future based on our faith in God in the present and His faithfulness in the past. These rats, they knew they wouldn't die, they have a future, based on what happened in the past. And they had faith in that person in the present. Hope is hope. Christian hope in the Word of God is looking expectantly towards the future based on our faith in God in the present and His faithfulness in the past. That is the hope that you and I should have. The hope. Can I have the praise and worship team? I'm going to end now. What is it like to have hope in God? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. I like the Passion Translation. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God Himself. Our hope, our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm before the earth. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul is sure and steadfast. The hope that we have in God is sure and it is steadfast. It is like the hope in God is actually having the expected end as what He has said it would come. He told me, I will pass my physiology. He told me. And my hope had to be on Him. And the expected end occurred. It's like a teacher who, this is a real story, who actually had a student who really was bad in English. And the teacher one day told the student this, because this teacher really believed and trusted that this student actually was good in English, but he just had confidence problems. And then the teacher asked him, what, Robin, that's the name of the student, if I were to tell you that for the test tomorrow, I've already given you an A. I've already given you the A. You just come and sit for it. He came, he sat. Another teacher marked his paper and indeed he got an A. Hope in God is God telling you today, your job for 2023 is secure. Means it is secure. If He is telling you that you will be healed of this disease, it is done. If He is telling you your marriage is going to be restored. As far as the Word of God is, it is not something you wish for, something you're optimistic about, something even you're expecting about, but it is something that is surely done. That is the hope. Our hope in God is like the anchor of a ship. It keeps us firm on His Word. It keeps us stable in the midst of all the chaos. We are stable. You know, I'm going to end here now. God is limited by one thing, you know. Really, He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, but He's limited by one thing. One thing limits God. It's His word. His word. He can never go against His word. And His word has got 7,000 promises for you and I. 7,000 promises. And He cannot go against His word. Our hope, let your hope and my hope today be anchored in the word of God. Not what IMF tells you. Not what the blood results tell you. Not what your psychotherapist and sociologist tells you about relationships in marriage and children. And you know, teenagers, they are like this, they are like that. No. 7,000 promises here is what we place and anchor our hope on for 2023. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you so much for this day. For this is a day where you are telling us we have hope. We have hope. We have hope in that healing. We have hope in the restoration of the marriage that you have said will happen. We have hope that our children will one day come back to serve the Lord. We have hope. Lord, our hope is not whom we sent to Putrajaya. Our hope is whom we sent to the cross. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ for Malaysia. And Father, as we come before you, we pray that today the Holy Spirit would inspire each one of us to make our hope in you, to anchor our hope in the word of God, Father. That Lord, even a person like Mary in the word of God, who was a nobody, O Lord. But Lord, she believed and her hope was in God. Her hope was in you. Her hope was in the word of God. And she went through the whole process to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, our hope is like what you told Gideon. Lord, Gideon was a coward. But Father, you said he's going to lead your army. And Lord, his hope was in you. And he was one of the greatest commander generals for your army. So today, our hope is in you, O Lord. We choose, we make that decision, that radical decision, the decision that the world may call to be foolish, O Lord. We choose to place our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and the 7,000 promises that you have for each one of us, O Lord. We thank you. And Lord, we ask, dear Father, for 2023, we are not merely going to be wishing for things, optimistic for things, expecting things. No, we are going to place our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will have that expected end, O Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. If you are someone who don't know, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have placed your hope in everything outside the Lord Jesus Christ, and your heart has been traumatized. You placed hope on people, they failed you. You placed hope on your company, they're asking you to leave. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and today you want to make that decision, you may be here, you may be online, but you want to make that decision to place your hope. That decision must come from you and I. On something that will surely happen, on promises that will come to a reality. If you want to make that decision to ask Jesus to come into your life and place all your hope in Him, today I would like to give you that opportunity to just say these few words after me. Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Savior, and I want to place my hope for my future in your hands. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.